Are sermons not just overrated, like we are in 2021? Like, why are people still preaching? Like, there are so many ways of communication. And anyway, you know, there's other things that the church should be doing. You know, that preachy stuff is not very loving. Well, this is the view of even some Christians, that preaching the gospel is not the most loving thing. That if Jesus would have been around now, that's not what he would have been doing. Now, I would agree that some Christians don't preach the full gospel, so what they preach end up being not very loving. But what about the true gospel? Should it still be preached? Should we still have some sermons on Sundays? Or should we just, you know, play like some fun movies, give popcorn to people, and just to attract more people? Over the last few weeks, we have started a series on Mark's gospel. And it's been teaching us that the gospel is still good news, even today in 2021. We have seen that the gospel is this divine, world-changing announcement that the world will never be the same because of the gospel. And last week we saw that the gospel is about the one, it's about Jesus, the one who has this supreme, authentic authority. And yet he came on earth, he proclaimed this message, and he called regular people to himself to follow him, and then he freed people from the power of Satan. But today we are going to see that the gospel is Jesus's priority. And the question that we are going to ask is this. Are we going to have the same priority as Jesus? So let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and then starting from verse 29, and today I've stuck to what the passage is, so we are there. So Mark chapter 1, from verse 29. As soon as Jesus left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and immediately they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went up to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. And that is the word of God. So should the gospel still be preached? Well, in this passage, we see that the gospel is Jesus's priority. And as his followers, we ought to have the same priority. But how does it look to have the same priority as Jesus? Well, we are going to see three things that show us just this. And the first thing we see is to put mission over recognition. Put mission over recognition. So it must be difficult to be rich and famous while you try to engage with a good cause. Like, if you're trying to do it keeping a low profile, you know, people will tell you, oh, you never do anything for poor people. But then if you talk about the work you do, people start to say, oh, you're doing this because you seek attention. But if you really believe that what you do makes some kind of difference, you shouldn't really worry about getting recognition. You should just worry about doing the work, keeping the mission going. Well, the gospel is Jesus's priority, and that is why to him his mission comes before recognition. Look from verse 29. So as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. So just reminding you of the context a little bit. So Jesus has just called those four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. They went to this place called Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, that is Saturday, they went to the synagogue. And Jesus taught and cast out demons. And like, people were amazed. And now they just left the synagogue. And what did they do? Well, look at the verse. So it says, as soon as they left, the five of them went to Simon and Andrew's house. And this was a typical custom on the Sabbath day. After the gathering at the synagogue, people will go to someone's house in order to share a meal. So this is a typical Saturday with Jesus. But then look at verse 30. Simon, mother-in-law, was in bed with a fever. So we are told that Simon, mother-in-law, was in bed with a fever, but we don't know if she has been like this for a while, or if it just happened that day. You know, she was meant to cook the meal, but then she happened to be sick. But that's what happens. But not a four fishermen. They just witness Jesus doing all this amazing stuff. So what is the natural thing to do? Of course, is to tell him about her. And that's what they do. That's what we read next. And immediately, they told Jesus about her. And you know, and then we look at verse 31. What happened? So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So Jesus takes her hand, helps her up, and the fever leaves her. And here we see a bit of a personal side of Jesus. And remember that Mark gets his facts from Simon Peter, who was actually there when that happened. So the emphasis here seems to be less on Jesus and the fever. It's more about Jesus helping her out of her helpless state. But then what happens next? Well, she gets up and she began to wait on them. So now we're back to the Saturday meal. Everything goes back as normal, just as planned. But then in the evening, everything is about to go crazy. Look at verse 32. That evening, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. So at this stage, everybody must have heard of Jesus' teaching at the synagogue, and they probably heard of what has happened with Simon's mother-in-law. So people wait for the Sabbath to be kind of over, so that's what they wait for the evening, so the sun is down, and they bring all the sick people to Jesus, and hoping that he's going to repeat the same kind of stuff that they have heard. And at this stage, Jesus must be quite tired, like, you know, like it's quite late. But what is Jesus going to do? Well, look at verse 34. So Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. So Jesus healed the people brought to him and cast out the demons. So the ministry of Jesus is about to take off. People are about to know who they are dealing with. But then, read the rest in verse 34. But he would not let the demon speak because they knew who he was. So as Jesus cast out these demons, he stopped them from telling who he is. And this is quite similar from what we read last week. You know, has the demon started to say that Jesus is the Holy One of God? What did Jesus tell him? He told him to be quiet and get out. So wait a minute. So doesn't Jesus want, you know, recognition? Doesn't want like people to know who he is? And maybe we can say, you know, that, you know, he doesn't want that kind of recognition. He doesn't want this to be coming from a demon. But this actually shows something even bigger than that. It shows that Jesus puts mission over recognition. See, dealing with people's need, delivering them from the power of Satan, is more important than being recognized. But there will be a time when Jesus being recognized will be a major thing. But at this moment, Jesus sticks to the mission. But what are we learning from Jesus in those few verses? Well, even if Jesus deserves recognition, he does not accept it when he gets in the way of the gospel mission. And that is a challenge for all of us, because it might come a time, you know, for anybody, you know, for when you are at work, in order to get promoted, to get recognized, you might have to, you know, do something where you have to neglect your family or even the how you serve at church, and you know, and if you do that thing, this might harm your witness. It might come in a way of the mission, or even if you are a student, can come to that time when at school you might have to, you know, write something or say something when you have to agree with a worldview or another religion that is anti-Jesus, like in order to get a prize or in order to get a better grade. And what will you do? But even as a church, you know, like we were not recognized among the good churches when we decided to stay open about 2 months ago. And yes, it would have been nice to be given the tick, you know, by some organizations, like, oh yeah, this church are a bunch of nice people. But gospel-wise, in terms of the mission, it didn't make sense for us. But what if one day we are not given that option? What will we do? But then those verses as well also give us a warning. It gives a warning to church regulars, for those brought up in Christian homes, for those who grew up in the Christian culture, because we see that the demons knew exactly who Jesus was. Like, if there was a Jesus quiz, they would have, like, had a top score on this. And yet, they had no faith in him. Be careful not to have the faith of a demon, but have the faith of a disciple. So, as people, we are to have the gospel is the priority of Jesus. We are to have the same priority. And the first thing that it means to have the same priority of Jesus in this passage is putting mission over recognition. The second thing, putting proclamation over popularity. Proclamation over popularity. A French reggae artist that I grew up watching when I was young, of course, died about 2 weeks ago. And in one of his like latest interviews, he explained why he has disappeared from the spotlight. And his thing was that he had to live up to his message. He had to, you know, become a man, raise his family and all that stuff. So he had to be stopping doing the things that people wanted from him, to the point that he had to sacrifice his popularity. And that's the thing, you know, when you believe in your message, popularity loses its value. And how much more this should be true of the gospel. And that is why Jesus puts proclamation over popularity. Look at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So after a long night of healing and casting out demons, Jesus doesn't get a line, but he wakes up early while it's still dark, and he goes to a solitary place and he prays. Like, we would have thought that probably he would have, just stayed around and start going about, you know, all the miracles he did last night. But that's not what he does. He removes himself from the crowd and he prays. And this shows that already that Jesus has something bigger in mind than just sitting back and looking at his trophies or just recounting his success stories. Jesus goes out to pray. But this is not the only time that we read about Jesus doing such things. So I think a few weeks ago we read about when Jesus went into the wilderness and was in there for 40 days. So that was a bit of the solitary place. But then if you were to read Mark Gospel even furthermore, there is the point where Jesus will go to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we think that because Jesus is God, he didn't need prayer. Like, he only prayed only to show us an example. But Jesus praying teaches us two things. So it teaches us about how relational God is. So even within the Trinity, there is a continuous communication. But it also teaches us about Jesus' humanity, how as a human he understood his need for prayer, his need of expressing dependence on his Father and being aware of what is ahead. Okay, so after that successful night, Jesus removed himself from people to pray. And how do people react to that? Well, look at verse 36. So Simon and his companion went to look for him. So Simon and his crew, they are looking for Jesus, and just about to tell him that a lot of people are looking for him. And this, at first, it might just look like an innocent, just a friend looking for a friend. But the word here, looking for, could also be translated as pursued or hunted. So at this moment, Simon is obsessed. He really wants to be with Jesus, like all the time, which is a good thing. But the problem is not for a good reason. What is the reason? Well, look at verse 37. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So people are looking for Jesus, and Simon got excited over Jesus' popularity. Now imagine you are Simon Peter, you're just that regular fisherman. People don't usually come to you like unless you have some discount on tuna or something like this. But now everyone goes to his house and people are asking, "Oh, where's this guy that he was like healing everyone? Please bring him." So Simon thought, "Oh, this is it. Like, our movement is about to go somewhere. We are getting quite popular here." But the problem was that people were not looking for Jesus for what he came to offer. People were obsessed. They saw him just as like a genie, like someone who will fulfill all their material or temporal desire. So at Simon's surprise, look at what Jesus replies. Verse 38. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So Jesus just reached this top level of fame. People want to see him do all kind of tricks, and I'm sure that some people were even willing to pay him. But Jesus is thinking, let's go somewhere else. And why? Because he wants to preach. Preaching? That's what Jesus is doing. He's putting proclamation over popularity. And he gives a reason why. He says, that is why I have come. And here Jesus is not talking about just traveling to Capernaum, but he talks about him coming down on earth. That's why he came, to preach, to proclaim the good news, as we have read in Isaiah 61. And that's what he ended up doing. That's what we see in verse 39. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So while Jesus had what a lot of people in ministry want to have, gathering big crowds, but Jesus walked away from it because he had to preach. He had to free people from the power of Satan. Now we learn from Jesus here an important principle, that popularity has no worth next to gospel proclamation. So we should not let activities that will make us more popular get in the way of gospel proclamation. There's a lot of things that we can do as a church, and those things might attract people. But if doing those things get in the way of gospel proclamation, it means that they are not worth doing. So if myself or any of the elders were to tell you, from now on Sundays, we're not going to preach anymore, we are going to have some entertainment just to attract some people, well, as a congregation, you guys are responsible to say, yeah, that sounds attractive, but what about the gospel? We can't let anyone put popularity over gospel proclamation. And then there's also another danger that we see in our passage. There's also a danger of being like Simon Peter in this passage here, seeking to introduce people to Jesus just so that he can be their genie, and like just solve like all the things that they want to be solved. And that's the thing that is wrong with prosperity gospel. Yes, we should expect Jesus to perform miracles, to heal the sick. He has done it, and he still does it today. But Jesus has a message that serves much more than the problem of the lack of prosperity. It frees us from the power of Satan. It gives eternal life. Proclaiming this message worth more than being popular. And another thing that we learn from Jesus here is the importance of private prayer. So even after him achieving a huge spiritual success, Jesus doesn't neglect his quiet time. So Jesus knew that he needed prayer. How much more should we be aware of our need of prayer? And that is my question to you. How committed are you to your private prayer? Do you set a time for it? Do you have some kind of regular process? Because it's a discipline. It requires some effort. So it's not every day that you're going to wake up in the morning and feel like, yeah, prayer. Like, you know, sometimes it's hard. So it's a discipline as well. But as you pray as well, please pray for people like myself, like Mike, or even Connor, because when praying is part of your job, there is a danger that you become great at praying in group, but privately, nothing happens. but let us aim to become more like Jesus. And it starts by having the same priorities as him. So putting mission over recognition, proclamation over popularity, and the third thing, compassion over reputation. Being associated with the wrong people can damage your reputation. And especially nowadays on social media, like with the cancel culture, like how can someone can just get fired or like lose everything because of one statement they've made in the past or like a picture they took at some point? You know, and when you witness those things, sometimes you see it and you see that that the one being hated doesn't deserve that much hate. But you know, you don't really want to be involved. You want to stay far away from it because you don't want to get the hate as well. What Jesus does, the opposite. He is willing to be associated even with those who are canceled, even with those who are rightly rejected, because he puts compassion over reputation. Look at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So that man with leprosy approaches Jesus. Leprosy back in those days described like virus skin diseases. And around this part of the world in those days, there was a big skin disease that was very contagious, and this is probably what that man had. So this man with the skin condition approaches Jesus and begs Jesus to make him clean. Now we should probably think about the wording here, like clean, like what is like? Maybe you should probably ask for healing, but like if you want cleaning, just you know, take a shower or something, but cleaning. But actually in Israel in those days, under the law of Moses, such person was considered as unclean. If you were to read in Leviticus 13, like the entire chapter describes how the Israelite community were to deal with skin diseases. And after listing a bunch of conditions and you know all kind of scenarios, in verse 45, that's what we read in Leviticus 13. "Anyone with such defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." And this was the life for that man. He was called unclean. When he arrived in a place, he has to announce himself, "Unclean, unclean." He had to live alone. He wasn't allowed to enter big cities. That man was an outcast. He was rejected from society. He was canceled because of his skin disease. And he could not go to the temple or worship. And if anybody touched him, they also will be considered as unclean. And this is why he comes to Jesus. He begs him, say, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And look at how Jesus reacts in verse 41. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand, he touched him, and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So Jesus performed a miracle that cleansed the man. But let's look at the verse in more detail. So back to verse 41. So Jesus was indignant. Now in some places this is translated as Jesus was filled with compassion. But another way to even translate this is Jesus was filled with anger. But not because he was angry at the man, you know, "Don't approach me, get out." But his anger was toward the condition, toward the situation. So we can say that Jesus was disturbed, deeply moved as he witnessed the result of sin in the world. And what he does next will show this. So what does he do? Verse 41. So he reaches out his hand and he touches him. And he says to the man, I am willing, be clean. So not only Jesus is willing to make him clean, but as he touches him, he shows his willingness to be treated as unclean, as an outcast, rejected from society, just being counseled. And it's by his willingness to sacrifice his reputation that Jesus declares the rejected man clean. And that's what we see in verse 42. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So Jesus was not scared of getting counseled because his compassion have nullified his love for his reputation. And this compassion has overruled reputation. Where's the place that this is best shown in Jesus? It's at the cross. So as Jesus is arrested like a criminal, beaten up to the point of being disfigured, just like the leper, being insulted, spat at, taken outside of the city, rejected by his own people, rejected by the world's authority, rejected by God. And just so that us were unclean in the eyes of God because of our sins can be made clean. And not because we are good or because we can get our act together if you try hard enough, but because Jesus is willing to take our status and the punishment that goes with it just so that we could be cleansed from our sins. Now maybe you're here or at home watching this, and maybe you feel unloved or rejected by your own family, by your peers, by society. Maybe you feel ashamed because of some things you've done in the past. While Jesus is willing to stand next to you, to take your shame, your rejection, to be counseled with you. But that's not where it stops. He's also willing to make you clean. And that's what he did at the cross. So if you trust in Jesus, this is where your confidence should be. But if you are someone who don't trust in him yet, don't just sit down and feel bad about yourself. Oh man, I'm a bad person, whatever. Beg Jesus and he will make you clean. And not because you are good, but because he is willing. But Jesus' compassion should challenge us to rethink about how much we value our reputation. Is there any type of people that you would not share the gospel with? You know, because within your principles, you will not associate with such people. Maybe because of their backgrounds, their lifestyle, their skin color, or who they vote for. Well, if your reputation or anything you value becomes more important than sharing the compassion of Christ, your priorities are worldly. And they may be, you know, good principles or moral values, but they are not the priorities of Jesus. Because Jesus puts mission over recognition, proclamation over popularity, compassion over reputation. And the fourth thing, Jesus puts God's glory over self-publicity. Look at verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once, and that's the leper, with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So Jesus orders the man not to tell anyone, but do what is required by the law and go to the priest, offer the sacrifices. What Jesus had in mind here is God's glory rather than self-publicity. And at first we might think that, you know, Jesus is just saying that, you know, just to be polite, you know. Please don't tell anyone. But, you know, if anyone were to find out, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal. But look at verse 43 carefully. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. At this moment, Jesus is not being polite. And the sending him away here is the same strength as when we read Jesus telling demons to come out. So the guy is getting kicked out with a strong warning. Now, growing up with African parents, sometime, you know, my dad would send me to buy stuff from the shop. But there is always a risk that I would go and do a bunch of stuff and then come back with the shopping like 5 hours later. So before I left the house to do the shopping, my dad would always give me like a look, like a serious look. And then he would just say one sentence, like, be careful. And when I would go away, I would be terrified to do anything other than what I was asked for. Well, this is what Jesus is doing here. He's not being polite. He's not playing. He's sending the guy away, warning him not to be foolish. Look at verse 44. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So that is Jesus sending the man on the mission to be quiet and to go show himself to the priest and offer sacrifice. But what, why to the priest? Well, if you were to read Leviticus 13 and 14, God told Moses that the priest were the one who are to examine those who have skin disease, and they needed to observe them. So like if there is some potential of them being healed, they need to observe them for about a week to see if the disease was really gone, and then for another week that to perform a ceremonial cleansing. And that was a long process involving like haircuts, bath, and all kind of things. But then after this, there will be some sacrifices to atone for the uncleanness. And that is why Jesus said to the guy to go and be officially declared unclean by the religious authority that has been set over him. But why? Was it because the priest's opinion mattered? Or was it because so that it could be accepted in society? Now, if you read the end of verse 44, you would see it's as a testimony to them. So as the priest see this leper being cured, it would be a sign to them that God is at work, that there is something big happening in Israel. And that is the good news of that is the good news. That is a sign that the good news of God has arrived. So Jesus puts God's glory over self-publicity. But sadly, the man did not have the same priorities, and that's what we see in verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet people still came to him from everywhere. So the man prioritized publicity rather than God's glory. And as a result, Jesus had to live like someone who is on the run, away from the crowd, an outcast. Like it's almost like Jesus and the leper swipe places. But yet, people still went to Jesus. Even though this wasn't his priority, he got recognition, popularity, reputation, and publicity. Okay, so does the gospel still have to be preached in 2021? You know, why not have sermon-less services? Well, as we thought about the priorities of Jesus, we have seen that the gospel is not just a little thing that we have somewhere in our lives, but it should be our priority. So we should put the gospel mission over recognition. We should put the gospel proclamation over popularity. We should put the compassion that is found in the gospel over reputation. We should put God's glory over self-publicity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son to speak to us, and then we praise you that his priority was and is our salvations. And Father, we do confess that we don't always have the same priorities. Father, would you please help him to be like him, and to so that our worldview, our priorities are totally shifted. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.